Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Well, that was a astonishing weekend of sports, wouldn't you say, Jeffrey?
Decent weekend of sports, Jeff.
And decent weekend of weather.
Decent weekend of weather, sports at
God,
all.
Oh, my God. It was achingly perfect out there in Memphis yesterday. Absolutely a stunning weekend. I'll confess.
It was a great day to sit inside.
Also a great day to sit inside, and a great day at FedEx Forum, and a great day to be outside. I wound up the day. They had the Huey's 55th birthday party. They would have had a 50 birthday party at Huey's.
Something else happened then?
But as you may recall, we were all apart when they turned 50. And so they had a big 55th birthday party, nice block party down there across from Huey's. And I saw your friend Alex. He was there, and he sort of presided over the whole thing. Lucero was playing. It was a beautiful night in Memphis, so that was great. My weekend got off to an inauspicious start. Has this ever happened to you? We had a little bit of a tough week. Whatever. Claire's dog is on her last legs,
and
every day is a question. Is today the day you put the dog down?
Yep.
And this is the most important dog she's ever had, Frida, and you know, we all have that dog. I think the lifetime dog, and she has a huge tumor, and so. Is today the day? How miserable is she? You know, whatever. It's that. And honestly, we've been obsessed by this. We were totally distracted. We collapsed at the end of the day Friday. And at 7:15, I just happened to look at my email. And the email said, are you coming to dinner? Are you and Claire coming to dinner? And at that point, I realized that we had been invited to and accepted an invitation to have dinner at a small dinner party. Friday night, and it began at 6 o'clock, and we just completely screwed up. Have you ever just like the only other time this once upon a time there was a Kiwanis Club meeting, maybe there was an Optimist, two different meetings I've ever missed. And I do a lot of talking to Rotary clubs and stuff, and there was a Kiwanis Club meeting, I just stood him up once. And then there was, I think it was an Optimist Club meeting or whatever, and Chris Wallace was in attendance, and he got up and talked instead. So he saved my ass. But those are like the only times I can remember like just completely flaking. And it's just mortifying. There were only 8 people at the table, and there were 2 seats for us. And so we raced in there and got there too. It actually turned out to be a lovely, wonderful, spectacular conversation and everything else, but man, that was a rough way to start the weekend. And so I felt like I was digging out a hole ever since. But then we end up, and then you got the Grizzlies collapsing Friday. I mean, that was something. That ended, honestly, just as the dinner party ended, I'm like, oh, look, they're up. They're up five. And it was one of these jinx things, like 14-1 run while I'm finally paying attention. And just a total collapse after an admirable effort, right?
I mean, it was the classic, this is going to be the best win of the year.
This is going to be the best win of
like,
the year.
The circumstances that got in at
4 a.m.
And they're like, no one thinks that
how
they're going to win.
How do you go? Because I was listening to it, right? How do they not score? How do they allow a 14-1 run? It felt like it was not, it was just kind of, they either squandered or ineptitude offensively.
Yeah, that's the thing. You hear 14-1 run and you think like
they were overwhelmed or something.
No, but it was like a 14-1 walk.
It was.
It was.
Oh, Denver missed a whole bunch in the context.
It really was not in the sense of like
how it wasn't Steph Curry blowing up on you.
Right. It was the run was really you not scoring, and it's kind of the same. I did a ESPN hit after the game, and my kind of big takeaway was like, it was a microcosm of their season in which
started off so promisingly.
Yeah, and like the things that had plagued them during the year, which is the late game execution, the turnovers, all of it. It's like it all just magnified in that one moment. And then you basically let Jokic hang around long enough and he'll kill you.
Well, we have a finality now on the Grizzlies, and we will, of course, get to that in a moment. Jeffrey, all for the last month or so, I've had you check the stats because I, months ago, okay, 6 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, I began to realize the Grizzlies were going to be in the play-in, be in the seer that I am. I may not be able to keep track of my schedule appropriately, but I seem to be able to see the future when it comes to the Grizzlies. And I told you they were going to be in the play-in, and the little number thing kept saying, no, 80% chance they're not going to be in the play-in, 72% chance they're not going to be. Check right now. What's the chance they're going to be in the play-in?
Jeff, it is 100%.
It is 100% they're in the play-in. That's tomorrow night against Golden State. We'll talk about that in a moment. We have so much to get to. The Nico news out of Tennessee was a huge development, which certainly bears discussion, which we will get into. And we will return to this in greater depth later. But as I was keeping track of the Grizzlies and the Masters simultaneously, I was at the Grizzlies game last night, keeping track of the Masters. After the double on the first hole, I texted you because you're my Rory expert.
Yeah.
And I feel for you. And I'm thinking, I think the question was, is he going to be able to steady himself?
Yeah.
And you were, actually, this was after the second hole.
It was this,
yeah. And
Bryson had just taken the lead.
Bryson had just taken the lead. And you said, I think so. You were actually pretty optimistic. I can only imagine your emotions over the ensuing 4 hours or however long it was.
It was for those that like don't follow golf closely, it was a wonderful, this is the Rory McIlroy experience in one round of golf. Like, there are moments where you sit there and you go, this guy's unstoppable. He can do anything. Then there are moments where he's standing over a two-footer and you don't think it's going in.
It's the rare, it was, so there was the Tiger era golf. When everyone paid attention to golf.
Yep.
When golf was something that people who didn't care about golf paid attention to. Right.
Mainstream.
And then he went away. And now it's just golf again. And most Americans don't pay attention. This was so transcendent. Such an epic performance of man against man. Right?
Man
right?
against himself.
Man
no
against
question.
Himself. Such an epic wait for this moment. It has been a lifetime journey up and down. And then it became a day-long journey up and down. That even if you care nothing about golf, to see a guy who has gone 11 years without winning a major, who has been on the cusp of winning, who has never won the Masters, who has famously blown the Masters once before, and who has been in this epic struggle with himself over the course of the decade, to see him then have that same struggle with himself on a Sunday and then emerged at the end of it, collapsed in tears, I don't think it doesn't matter if you care about golf. That was something else.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, that is what we watch sports for. It's watching someone actually accomplish something. And you could tell, like, it goes beyond, like, what it meant to him. Because the other problem that you mentioned, like, with all the major droughts and whatnot, since the moment he won the Open in 2014, it's all Augusta. That's all he needed to become the sixth person ever,
right,
to complete the career Grand Slam. So that means every single year,
all they talk about is this
and
year.
And it starts.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was kind of always the thing with Rory. It's like, disappointing Masters. He's going to mope for 6 weeks, and then it takes a while to get himself back
up. And there's no
up.
Getting away from it. He said yesterday, after 100%. The win, he said, I wonder what people are going to be talking about heading into next year's Masters. Because this has always been, it's like, I don't know if it's like, I don't know, like, compare it to anything else. A player that's never won the Super Bowl, is this the year? Is this the year? Is this the year? Is this the only, but it's only if they go back to the Super Bowl every year and lose. It would be as if they went back to the Super Bowl every year and lost, and you would keep asking, is this the year? 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 And it became the dominant narrative.
It felt to me a lot like Steve Young wins the Super Bowl. The difference in your example, though, is Young wouldn't get beat in the Super Bowl. It's like he would just lose to the Cowboys.
Right.
And then you're always compared to Montana.
And because it's a team, there are lots of other moving parts. I mean, if you look back at Jim Kelly, lost 4 straight Super Bowls. But there's a lot of moving parts to that. And this was, there's no moving parts here except for Rory and his brain and
correct.
His hands and everything else. It did occur to me, like, watching it, like, we felt, and I'm sure you, because you've been a Rory guy all along, felt this incredible emotion and were rooting for him as if you were almost rooting for your own son.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what it feels like.
No,
right?
Yeah.
It is, I did say to someone afterwards, it's kind of amazing that our heart goes out to him. We desperately, the guy is worth what, $600 million? Like, it's not like, it's, why do I care so much about a guy who already has life on a silver platter getting another silver platter? But we do. Like, that is the nature, that is the essence. And it's not like even, they're not even the Memphis Rorys or the Buffalo Rorys.
Right.
So we're winning too. It's just we are watching human accomplishment and are moved by it.
I mean, I think it's, in the end, it's like,
that's it, isn't
it's,
it?
It's we watch sports,
yeah.
And we like watching people
drama.
Compete, and it's like, it's the ultimate reality show. And now more
than
there's
ever, nothing, and unlike so many reality shows,
it's real.
We understand that the reality shows can be fun and whatever, and we fool ourselves into thinking that they're not real, and there's not someone out here saying, okay, now you're going to miss this
spot,
and then you're going to fall on your knees, and
right.
you're going to pretend to cry, and whatever. This is actually happening.
Yes.
He actually went into that Sunday with a 2-stroke lead and double bogeyed the first hole.
It was over with by the time he had finished the first hole.
And everyone was, it was hammer, nail, coffin. They were, this is over. He is
and
not
you could,
up
you
to
could
this.
Even feel it on the broadcast. Like, I can't imagine what it was like. Like, you could feel the entire energy of, oh my God, here it goes
and
again.
And you put yourself in that situation, and you know the entire world is watching you melt down and calling you a choker.
Yeah.
How do you come back from, how do you gather yourself? It was incredible.
You rope hit a 7-iron with trees in front of you.
We will talk more about this as the day progresses. We'll also talk about the Nico situation and a whole lot more in the world of sports. But first, the Grizzlies, it's in the books. 24th regular season is in the books in Memphis, 48-34. They are, as someone predicted, in the play-in and will be playing the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night in the Bay, at the Bay. In the Bay? It's not in the Bay. In the Bay Area at Oracle. Still is Oracle, isn't it?
No, it's Chase Center.
Chase, I'm sorry. At Chase. I'm an idiot. At Chase Center. The chance to have a playoff spot and then play the Houston Rockets. It is an interesting... Context matters so much in everything because 48-34, this team, as Chris Harrington pointed out in his column in the Daily Memphian, won more games than the grit grind Grizzlies who beat the San Antonio Spurs in the playoffs. This team, there have been 23 seasons before this one. Only seven Grizzlies teams have won more games than 48. So of the 24, definitely one of the better seasons numerically. Unquestionably one of the better seasons numerically. If you watch every Grizzlies games, you're happy 14 more times than you are unhappy. And the home record was excellent. And by the way, if you looked at Las Vegas and the win totals before the season began, this team overachieved.
Again.
Now, not by much. I looked them up again yesterday, and it seems like the consensus was 46.5.
Yeah, so I think it started at 43.5, and I think people bet it.
Bet it up?
Yeah, I think by the start of the season it was right.
But whatever it, whatever the number is,
they surpassed both.
This team, contrary to preseason expectations, overachieved.
Yes.
And yet it does not feel like it overachieved, and this does not feel like success, and a trip to Golden State for this playoff game feels like a disappointment. And, okay, Jeffrey, that's a pretty easy answer why, but you tell me why. Why does this season, where they overachieved, feel like such a disappointment?
Number one, you were just hopeful that, I think I'd start with, you were hopeful you could just get a healthy season of Ja, and you did not get that. So I think it starts there. I think the fact that they pretty regularly went up against good teams and did not beat them, I think that weighed on people, because in the end, like, they're always, whether or not they're...
It's interesting. I think there must have been, I think this is true, there were more really bad teams.
Yes.
So the league was different a little bit this year.
There's been a lot of... There's been a lot written about the amount of tanking has made it to where you have so many teams that are just, like, actively trying to be bad that it gives you more wins than you're
used to. It is amazing. You're in the upper third of the league. You overachieved. And yet, I mean, let's be honest, it comes down to the collapse, right?
And then I think it's the fact that at the end, when you got back from the All-Star break, you had a 2 next to your name.
You had a 2. 40-some days ago, you had a 2. You were all alone in second in the West. You are 12-16 since the All-Star game. At one point in this stretch, you lost 12 straight against teams with winning records. You've lost 9 straight to Western Conference teams that are ahead of you. I mean, the numbers are, if you look overall, the teams ahead of them in the West, your record against them is 6-19. You are 1-11 in road games against the teams in the West that are ahead of you. 1-11.
I believe it's correct. You still have not won a game in the state of California.
And you're 0-8 in the state of California.
Yeah.
And as if there was any doubt about this, you got your coach fired.
Correct.
If it was a successful season, you did not get your coach fired.
Right.
That does not happen in a successful season. So this absolutely is a collapse. And more broadly speaking, I was thinking about it. Like, go through the seasons of the players. There are some years, or maybe even earlier this year, I would say, you know what? You look at this lineup, everyone's overachieving, right? But Jaren had a superb year. Weirdly enough, there's been the foul stuff coming up recently, but Jaren had a superb year. He had an All-NBA. Jaren had a superb year.
Agreed.
Ja disappointing because of injury and inconsistency and moodiness.
Yep.
It just is, right?
Yep.
Ja, disappointing year. Dez, it feels like, has settled into a very good player, but definitely a third player. Any hopes that you were Dez All-Star Dez? Sort of settling in, no, right? This isn't a year you feel better about Dez now than you did at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You don't feel bad about him, but I'm just saying, who exceeded expectations?
I think Jaren is it.
Well, I think Jalen Wells clearly exceeded expectations.
Right? Yeah.
But Zach Edey didn't exceed expectations.
Agreed.
Maybe Scottie Pippen did, but now we're looking at the fringes of the roster. Santi, there was a time you might have said exceeded expectations. Brandon Clark, because of injury. Again, not all this is came back. You hoped he would be back and effective, and he was. But now he's injured again?
Yep.
So, you go right down the roster. Vince, no. Gigi, no.
Marcus,
no. Laravia exceeded expectations, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, no one, like Jaren did,
yeah,
and Jalen Wells did. But fundamentally, this is a year when they, most players didn't live up to your hopes for them, your highest hopes for them. That's certainly true. And we've said this, you know, for a long time. Their moves around the three stars have been inadequate.
Yeah.
And there will be much more time for that when the season is over. But I think to say the season is disappointing is not just fair. It may be an understatement.
I mean, I just don't know how you could. I don't think anyone is actually feeling great right now.
It's a collapse.
Yeah.
How do you feel great after a collapse? So, weirdly enough, they played nobody yesterday. They played Vince. Vince started. But otherwise, it was all bench players. They destroyed the Mavs, 132-97. Cam had 23. Lamar Stevens had 31. Bagley, 25-11. Like, it was something. Huff had 22. And Yuki put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
This may be it for Yuki. He's not eligible for the postseason. And hard to believe he'd be back next year. There were a fair number of Japanese fans in the stands, and he put on a show. It was actually, I was talking to David Boyd, the sports editor of the Daily Memphian, and he's like, who's going to go to this game? I mean, it's stunningly beautiful out. The Masters is on, and they're playing nobody.
Yeah.
Right? It's basically a G League game. And I'll be honest, like, people had a nice time. It was really fun, and it was a reminder of how much fun it is. And I pause, and maybe this is me being Pollyanna. It's still fun to be in the fray, man. Like, you got a game against Golden State coming. Like, when I moved to Memphis, we would, is this team ever going to get a major league team? Whatever. And what you reminded of yesterday, I talked to a church group from Mississippi. They brought 40 kids here to the first NBA game. And they were having a blast. I talked to this. I walked over. I wrote something about. They have this stand where people write can write signs, and so they have big sheets of paper and markers and stuff. And I walked over there, and someone wrote this on their sign: "Support from Germany." And I'm like, that's not Goja. That's not like I love. It's support from Germany. And so I talked to this family. They'd literally come from Germany. It was their son's 18th birthday present, a trip to Memphis. He's a Grizzly fan, to watch the Grizzlies. And I was like feeling bad for him. I'm like, they get that schlock? They were so happy to be here. Like, they were giddy with happiness. And Theo, the son, he didn't care. He didn't seem, he's just thrilled to be at the game.
He did get to see a win.
He did get to see a win. And it was a rollicking win. It was an absolutely meaningless win, of course. But it was still, weirdly enough, a fun day. I was just surprised. It was a reminder. It's a fun deal down there. It just is. And it was again on the last day of the regular season. But now you've got Golden State. And it ended after the Grizzlies game ended. You had Golden State and the Clippers going back and forth. Where was the Masters then? Was the Masters, had it ended? It had ended.
No.
No, it was.
No, I think this is roughly about the time that that Rory hits
the putt?
No, toe wedge. This is about 13.
No.
Yeah. This is like, it's like in the midst of the collapse and then the comeback again.
It was the whole thing. Keeping track of all this stuff. I was watching what was happening, sort of, in front of me at FedEx Forum. You're keeping an eye on the Clippers and the Golden State game because that's going to determine the Grizzlies' fate.
Right.
And then you're also watching this epic historical struggle.
Yes.
At Augusta. All these things happening simultaneously. The Clippers end up beating the Warriors. And the good news here is, okay, Jeffrey and I do not subscribe to the, we want to play a team at full strength. We want to play their best players. We want to play their players when they're limping.
Don't care.
And Jimmy Butler came up limping in that game. Curry played 38 minutes. Draymond played 38 minutes. And the Clippers prevailed. And let's be honest. It's funny, for the people who are traveling out there, Drew Hill is already on his way from the Daily Memphian. You can read his stuff over there. He's already on his way to the Bay Area. He was rooting for Los Angeles because it's a lot easier to get to.
There's a direct flight.
And once you're there, it's easier to get to the state. Yeah. Like, it's just easier to get to. It's cheaper, easier logistically. But I think it kind of matters that they got the Warriors. It is a chance. The Clippers, just nothing about that's fun. Right?
Agreed.
The matchup's
Chris
bad.
Chris has nailed it, yeah.
It's the matchup's bad, and there's nothing about it that's fun.
Correct.
Here, is there a team that Memphis fans hate more than the Warriors right now?
I don't think so. Because I think everyone hates the Warriors more than the Lakers.
That the Grizzlies hate right now?
I mean,
Lakers, because they're the Lakers?
The team seems to be pretty chippy with the Rockets, but this is
a
different...
Yeah, but we're looking forward to that matchup for the opportunity to fun hate them.
Yeah.
Right?
And you think, like, okay, as bad as this season has been, if you could get into a series with the Rockets,
it's going to be
overwhelmed. You could talk yourself into, like, there's a chance.
Whereas people legit hate the Warriors, and it goes deep now. You know, it goes back to when they thought they were such freaking geniuses for humiliating Tony Allen. We're not going to cover Tony Allen. And that's going to – this is a series when Mike Conley was – his bucket was empty. He had a broken face, and his bucket was empty, and Tony Allen was gimpy. And you're like, we went to the Blue City Cafe, and we decided we were going to have a new strategy, and we're geniuses and whatever else. So there was that whole series, right?
Yep.
And then since then, there's the – I mean, just very well. Okay, then there was the breaking the code thing.
Yep.
Where they said Dylan Brooks broke the code, lecturing the Grizzlies on what the code is. Very, very recently, you had Draymond Green just this season saying that the Grizzlies were soft. Zach Edey was soft because his coach came to his defense. And then most recently, just a week ago, Draymond Green paternalistically saying about Jaren, you know he's my dog, but he can't take fouls like that, whatever else. Again, lecturing to them. They are a despicable group, an absolutely despicable, higher than mighty group. And if you can, in the midst of this disappointment, if you can, and I don't expect them to, again, they're 1-11 on the road against teams ahead of them.
Yeah.
So I don't expect them to go on the Chase Center and win. But if they can, isn't it incredibly redemptive?
Oh, you can salvage how people feel.
You don't even have to beat the Rockets.
Yes.
You just have to win this one game.
This isn't a series. This is a one-game thing.
You just have to win this one game, and you can salvage and prove that you can beat a team that's better than you. Prove that you can beat a team on the road that's better than you.
Do something you haven't done this season.
Prove that you aren't going to collapse down the stretch. Prove that you can win a freaking game in California.
Yeah.
I think it is a, at a time when everyone is toasting Steph, as they should, the greatest shooter ever, and toasting the Warriors, and everyone is piling on Ja, you can come and knock the damn Warriors into another play-in game.
Yeah.
If it had been the Clippers, it would not have been the same opportunity.
No.
You still could have proven you'd win in California. You could still prove you'd beat a good team.
But it doesn't have the magnitude.
Doesn't have the national magnitude. Not as satisfying. Doesn't have the deep rivalry. This is, given the way the season ended, this is about the best opportunity you could possibly want if you're the Grizzlies.
100% agree.
If they win this game, and then they lose to the Warriors. I mean, they lose to the Rockets in six.
Okay.
How do you feel about the season?
I think you'd have to say, on a pass fail, it feels like fail.
I think that's true, but not some freaking disaster.
No, I do think just beating the Warriors is satisfying enough.
You will have something deeply satisfying.
Correct.
And then I'm giving you two more playoff wins. I'm giving you a scrappy series against Houston. Here's the other reason the stakes are so high in tomorrow's game It also, you avoid the Sophie's Choice game. And by the way, I've heard people mischaracterize this, and I want to correct it. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself. But if they lose to the Warriors and they have to play either Sacramento or Dallas. And by the way, Sacramento, I think, has swept Dallas this year. I was talking to the Dallas beat writer, and Dallas has certainly struggled with Sacramento this year. It was the impression he gave. So, and then you're playing Sacramento or Dallas.
3-0.
At that point, I, just me as a fan, will, and you're free to disagree completely, I will want the Grizzlies to lose that game. I will want them to lose that game because I don't want to see them get pummeled by Oklahoma City four straight games, and I want them to keep their draft pick, which they would do if they would lose that game and be not be in the playoffs. I don't want that. That does none of those things apply tomorrow night.
Right.
Against, I desperately want them to win that game because I want them to beat the Warriors. I want them to be in the playoffs. I want the series against the Rockets. If it comes to a game against Sacramento or Dallas, I want them to lose that game. Do not be confused. No one has said, I don't believe, or would say, or would even think that anyone say the Grizzlies should purposely lose that game or the players should want to win that game. That's not how it works. The players will be busting their asses. The team will want to win that game as players. They'll do everything they can to win that game. And those of you, I suspect more of you will want them to win that game. And that's fine. They will try to win that game as they should, desperately. But as a fan, you have a choice in terms of, because what I want has no bearing on what's going to happen.
Yeah.
As a fan, you have a choice to determine what you would prefer to happen. And strategically, as a team that wants them to succeed over the long haul, I would want them to lose that game. A lot of people, I think the majority of people, would want them to win that game. Don't you think that's true? And get into the playoffs and see what happens. Take a shot against Oklahoma City. Who knows? I mean, the great thing would be, maybe I'd be proven the idiot. They'll go in and they'll beat up, or they'll have a seven-game series against Oklahoma City, and they will salvage their season by showing how gallant they can be in either losing or, hell, they beat San Antonio as an 8 seed, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I think most fans are inclined.
Of course, they want them to win.
When their team's playing, they want them to win.
Yeah, it's very clear. Most want them to win. But do not be confused. No one is – those of us on team, I won't be unhappy if they lose. None of us are suggesting that the players should want to lose or that the players will do anything other than their best. Now, I think it's an interesting question as to whether management
– sure.
What they would prefer. And we'll never know the right answer.
Yeah, they'll never state that publicly.
Of course they would never state that publicly.
I think
it may be that they wouldn't want them to win just because they don't want the ignominy of missing the playoffs, and they want the momentum of actually making the playoffs for ticket sales and morale and everything else.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer.
I don't know, because it's interesting. It's like, on the one hand, there's a scenario where you go into an offseason with some asset. It's not a great asset, but it is an asset. Versus going into an offseason with no asset. How much is that motivating? And then also, like, for a certain level, like, I do wonder, like, do maybe you just want to see the win for exactly what you're talking about? That you don't have to be at the helm
team that
of,
was two and collapsed and missed the playoffs entirely.
Yeah,
no, totally. I think it's a close call, honestly. And I respect either side. And hopefully, that's the other. My point is that
you could avoid that.
Is you can avoid this ridiculous debate, which I hate. Like, this is back in, this is a version of the tanking debate,
yep,
which we had, what year was it?
2018.
And we were Team Tank.
Yeah.
And again, when we were Team Tank, no one is suggesting that the players themselves in that situation should want to lose the game. But like, for example, yesterday, the Wizards hit a three-pointer at the end, or a shot at the end to win a game. And it doesn't change their lottery odds, but it does change if they don't win the lottery. I think they can now fall to sixth instead, yeah, of something. That would enrage me as a fan.
Right.
Oh, hell, here's one. My Buffalo Sabres have one game left. They have one freaking game left. And they can pick anywhere in the heading into the lottery. They will be anywhere from fifth to ninth. I want, and it's against the Flyers, who are even worse than the Sabres, and it's a home game. I want them to lose the game.
Yeah.
It is a perfectly reasonable thing to want as a fan. But I wouldn't pretend that Rasmus Dahlin is going to do anything other than try his best to win that game.
Sure.
And I wouldn't expect it. Now, management in the long-term tanking situations, they do screw with it. And they do intentionally try to lose games. That would never happen in the playoffs, and it's a silly discussion. Anyway, Grizzlies are where they are. I think they have a massive, massive, massive opportunity against Golden State. And in fact, we'll take your calls. 445-0929, 445-0929. How are you feeling about this as the regular season wraps up? How are you feeling about it as the regular season wraps up? Before that, I will tell you, it's funny, I got a text today from someone yesterday who got a hole-in-one. Congratulations to the hole-and-one. And this was the exact text. Was fortunate enough to have my first ever hole-in-one. I'll be making a trip to Frame Corner to get it properly celebrated and preserved for posterity. There you go. Frame Corner is the place to go when you make your hole-in-one and you want it framed for posterity. Frame Corner Memphis, they've been doing it for 50 years. Custom framing is their specialty, 5035 Park Avenue. Okay, phone number again, 445-0929. If you want to tell me, how are you feeling about the Grizzlies today? How are you feeling about this opportunity against the Warriors in front of them? What is your level of either hope or confidence? Mine is not insignificant, Jeffrey. I think they have a real opportunity to go out and do this. 445-0929. We'll take your calls when we come back. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget.
Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show. As we do sometimes on Mondays, get your sense of things. 445-0929. The regular season is in the books. How do you feel about it, and how do you feel about the chances against the Warriors? Taking your calls now. Who are we going to, Jeff?
Jeff, we start with Chris in East Memphis. Chris, you're on.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Great, great. I'm pretty much with you all the way on your feelings about what the Grizzlies should do. Absolutely want them to beat the Warriors tomorrow. And if, God forbid, they don't win, then I want them to lose the next play-in game so we can keep our pick.
Should we feel bad about that, Chris? Should you and I feel bad about that, that we feel that way?
No, we shouldn't, because we're diehard Grizzlies fans, and we want to see them be successful for the long term, and that is the best way for us to make it happen. One thing that I was imagining was us playing the Warriors later in the playoffs after they beat the Thunder and we beat the Rockets.
That would be that could all happen. This could, that's the way it could play out, Jeffrey. I like the way he's thinking. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 445-0929. Wouldn't that be great?
Beat him twice in the same postseason.
Beat him twice in the same postseason. Now you're talking. 445-0929. 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, we welcome our friend Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Jeff and Jeffrey. Well, first, I'm with you and Chris. Put me down for that. I want to beat the Warriors because I despise them. I put them up there with my Tigers as far as hating Ole Miss and Tennessee. So I want to do that. And, you know, if we don't, like you said, let's go for the Cooper Flag sweepstakes.
I'm not really holding out hope for Cooper Flag, but the sweepstakes is fun. Here's the other fun. It's actually, I like the draft season, Jeffrey. Draft season without a first-round draft pick would be meaningless. Thank you very much, Dennis. Appreciate it. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Teddy in Arlington. Teddy, you're on.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I'm feeling cautiously optimistic. There's some things at play. I mean, if you look at it on the surface, there's no reason why we can't beat that team. I
100%.
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, they've lost three out of their last five, and guess what? We've done the exact same thing. But there's some statistics that bear out, I mean, that's making me feel a little bit optimistic, okay, because eventually you have to break through. We haven't beat a winning Western Conference team since January, so it'll be 4 months. So the odds are, I mean, hey, eventually they got to break through, right?
Oh, you're going with the do theory. The do theory.
I can say this. This was a lot of my spin zone with Rory yesterday. It's like, well, he can't hit a wedge that bad again. Like, eventually, yeah, it's going to play out.
I thought you were going to give me some actual hopeful statistics, not the do theory statistics.
Well, I got another do one. They have not beat a West Coast team.
I know.
All season.
0-8 in California. So, therefore, they're going to win the ninth in California. That's one way to look at it. How about this one? I'll give you a positive one. Warriors 0-3 in play-in games.
Absolutely. I mean,
including ones to you.
Logically, it prevents us from thinking that we can't beat that team.
The Grizzlies have never lost in a play-in game.
Grizzlies have never lost a play-in game. That's true too.
I like how you think, Jeff. That's
right,
a good one. Yeah.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it was. It was May 21st, 2021. When the Grizzlies beat the Warriors in OT, you remember that as the game that Xavier Tillman hit the corner three,
Draymond had the wide open look and threw it away.
That was fun yesterday too. Did you? I don't know if you were able to see this. Big miss by Draymond down the stretch.
He did it.
I wanted to tell him that you know, I love him. He's my dog.
Yeah, no, of course.
But he can't be missing layups.
No, he can't be missing
down
layups
the stretch in critical games
when
like
your
that.
Team needs you.
When your team needs me, I just, you know. He's got to be better than that. I just want to pat him on the head and say, you can't be doing that. Ja had 35 in that game. By the way, the other thing that's happened with the Grizzlies of late is that, did you see the Ja hand grenade celebration has gone viral?
How could you not?
It's fantastic. Memphis baseball players doing it. high school basketball players doing it. There was a soccer player in Germany who did it. The jaw, and now you can't possibly fine him for that. Like, they weren't going to anyway. That ship had sailed, right?
Yeah.
But now the whole world is doing it.
Correct.
Cam did it.
Yep.
So you can't possibly...
I do like when he throws it and then the crowd goes, boom.
Right.
I like participation. Yeah.
Drew said he was in Denver for that game. He said that in Denver, the fans were throwing it back. They were like, which you would do with a hand grenade, right? You don't want to blow it up. You would
fire in the hole.
Either you dive on the hand. If you're a self-sacrificing type, you dive on the hand grenade. I wouldn't be doing that. I would be the type to grab it and throw it back. Or, let's be honest, I'd be the type to just sprint away from it.
Yeah.
But others...
Every man for himself!
Every man foxhole for himself. Calkins. That has happened as well. You don't want to be in the foxhole with me. You 100% do not want to be in the foxhole with me. There are foxhole people, and then there are non-foxhole people, and I am not a foxhole people. Unless you need, like, later on, a limerick about the foxhole. Then I could be the guy.
Or if you want someone slower and older so that you can run away first.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That also could be useful. All right, enough of that. We do have, in terms of the NBA playoffs, we got tomorrow, in addition to the Grizzlies and the Warriors, you've got Atlanta and Orlando. That's the early game. Wednesday, it's Miami and Chicago and the Mavs and the Kings. That's Wednesday. And then we will see what happens in terms of Friday's games. That's when the next play-in game would be there. The winner of the lower play-in game plays the loser of the higher play-in game. We have some regular series that are already set. You got Minnesota and the Lakers.
Yep.
The old Lakers, the original Lakers versus the Lakers.
Yep.
That's a good series, right?
Yes. Like the battle for who has better lakes.
Yeah. Clippers versus the Nuggets.
And they're
NBA playoffs.
They're good series. I think what's going to be interesting for me is I think the Western Conference playoffs could be really good, but then I also think we could look up and see like the Thunder are in the finals at like 12-2. Yeah,
that's possible too. But along the way, these series are going to be really good.
These will be entertaining.
You got Detroit versus the Knicks. I like that.
Yep.
Go Detroit. And you got Milwaukee and Indiana. I think the series are all good. Series are all good, all interesting. And now we got the play-in, which has been great drama. Not as great as necessarily the Masters drama yesterday, but great drama.
Nonetheless. Like, I don't know. I was kind of thinking, it's like, when you look at the standings, it's like, there's 8 games that, like, separate 8 and 9. And then there's this thought of, like, do we really need to see the 9-10 game? But the fact that it's the play-in, it's like, well, the Grizzlies having the opportunity to not play the Thunder and play the Rockets instead, it's like, sign me up for that.
There was, every season will be different.
Sure.
There was such a gap between 7, 8, and 9, and 10. It doesn't feel like Sacramento and Dallas have to be or should be in the playoffs. And if I was, I don't know the status of their draft picks, but if I were a fan of those teams, I'd want them to lose that game. Just to be clear, if I had the draft pick and I was a fan of either Sacramento or Dallas, and if they retained their draft pick, I would want them to lose to keep their draft pick.
I also think if you're a Dallas fan, you just want this miserable
season. And you want the miserable season to be over. Yeah, I mean, you can look at seasons differently. And the same thing. I don't know that, is it Atlanta, Orlando?
That's the 7-8, and then Bulls Heat is the 9-10.
Oh, Bulls Heat, yeah. Miami and Shutch. I don't know that Bulls Heat need to be in there, you know? But
I do feel like we need to name the play-in tournament after the Bulls. I feel like they're just always in it.
So there you have it. It was an interesting year. And here's the other thing. In the end, in the West, between the number 3 seed, the Lakers, and the number 8 seed, the Grizz.
Two games.
I would think that management and the coaching staff, whoever's here for the Grizzlies next year, might keep that in mind as they are figuring out how they are approaching games. I'm not saying be Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks, but games against Brooklyn early matter. Games against Chicago early matter. What was the game where they rested? Was it another
Spurs? So there was a Spurs game on the
that's 100%
that was like on game a Saturday
game against the Spurs where you just decided to freaking rest everybody.
The Nuggets game that you're thinking of was the Nuggets came to town for like those, you know, kind of those awkward two game series, and one game they were without Jokic and Murray. One game the Grizzlies rolled, and then the next game was the Cup game, and the Grizzlies got beat, and like that's one that you're kind of thinking back like.
The game that really, though, the maybe as intentional a loss as any other was the home game against the Spurs where they rested everybody.
Yep.
Come on, man. I'm giving you the double bird for that. It's just ridiculous. And here you are, two games between 3 and 8, and now you are where you are. You're having to do this ridiculous play-in, which will be high drama. Man, it'll be painful to lose to them, too. But
and there's nothing worse than the staying up. To watch your team lose.
Staying up to watch your team lose and then listen to Draymond lecture.
Yes.
So, it would also be nice. The other reason it would be nice to thrust Golden State into that series.
Absolutely.
Against Oklahoma City.
Enjoy.
Like have fun with that, Draymond.
Yeah.
So that would be
It'd also be fun to thrust them into the game and hey, let's say the Mavericks win and Anthony Davis looks awesome and then have. Right. Anthony Davis dominate them, and then they miss the playoffs entirely.
So much better to win than to lose.
Yeah.
So much better.
Tomorrow night is as crystal clear, clean cut as it can possibly be. It's like all hands on deck.
It is all hands
we need everybody.
So there you go. I guess we'll wait and we'll talk about the Nico stuff after we talk to Chris.
Hour two.
So we'll do that in hour two. Let's go back to Rory real quickly then, because I don't know how much time we'll have to get to that. When you think about this, obviously collapsing at the end in tears, in a good collapse. That's the good collapse. But like the momentous moments that will be remembered will be the double bogey on one, right?
Yep.
It'll be the double on 13.
Yep.
The wedge shot in the water.
The wedge in general.
The wedge into the water on 13, which was just absolutely inexplicable.
He had the entire state of Georgia to the left of the pin.
What's the best shot he hit all day?
I think the best shot he hit was still the 7-iron on 15 from behind the tree.
Right.
That's the best shot. And then, I mean, obviously the winner is going to be the wedge on 18.
Right, but 17.
But, I mean, 17 was a
give him a chance to win it on 18, which he then did not.
He had a good shot on 16. I mean, the problem is so much of this is just colored by the absolute inability to make a putt. Like, even on 15, he hits that unbelievable shot, still missed the putt.
Had 4 double bogeys on the week, 2 on Sunday.
First ever to do that.
First on ever. He is now not the first ever at the Masters.
Correct.
He is the first winner of a major to have 4 or more doubles and win the major since Tiger at the 2008 U.S. Open.
Yeah. That was back though when like U.S. Opens were
right
real
exactly.
U.S.
We're,
Opens.
We're 2 fairways on the front 9.
Yep.
35 fairways in regulation for the week.
Yep.
I mean, it was when you say what's interesting is you say the full Rory experience. It used to be the full Phil experience was similarly bipolar, and yet it was Phil deciding to do stupid things.
Yes.
Right? It was risky Phil versus patient Phil, whatever.
Yep.
This feels the full Rory experience because the last 11 holes, 5 birdies, 3 bogeys, and a double.
Yep.
Right? Like that's the full experience right there. It's not the same risk taker, Rory. It's Rory versus himself. It's internal battle, Rory.
It's ADHD. It's
torture.
When he has this like extremely difficult high level of skill shot, he can pull it off. But you put him 85 yards away in the middle of the fairway, he's just got to go hit the green. He's just going to hit like an apathetic wedge.
Have you ever enjoyed a golf tournament more than you enjoyed yesterday?
2019. 04, Phil's first one. Like, to me, those are, in my lifetime, those are the 3 Masters that stick out.
And there's no golf tournament other than a Masters golf tournament that trumps?
The Ryder Cup is the only thing that I think can trump the Masters. Because you put the red, white, and blue out there, and
I'll be interested to see what the TV numbers are. Because
I think it's going to be a massive.
It felt like this was something that, I mean, again, this is one. It's not Tiger, but it feels like one that transcended golf.
Well, and I think there's also the other thing about Rory. It's like whether or not it's fair, like, but he's become this symbol of the fracturing of golf. And then you had Bryson in the final group. And like, I think that was the other thing that stood out to me. Rory's kind of like the thoroughbred that needs like someone right in front of him,
right,
to focus him.
Speak to him.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like Bryson making a big deal out of this. Like he's trying to win the freaking Masters,
right?
Tiger did this famously in 2019, and everyone's like, "That's
go Tiger."
That's right. Tony Finau. How are the kids? Good. Moving on. Like it was like this is like, and then he starts. But the thing is, like, this is what happened at St. Andrews, the one of the other majors we choked away. He had a four-shot lead. This is Team McIlroy.
I know, right?
He had a four-shot lead, and he's playing with Victor Hovland. And everyone thinks that the lead is so significant that it's just going to be these two guys. Well, he takes care of him, like, in two holes, and it's done and over. And then it sets up for Cam Smith to just go absolutely bananas on the back nine and run him down. That's kind of what happened yesterday. He stumbles out of the gate, but then he's so locked in on beating Bryson.
Right.
He knocks Bryson out at like 11. He hits a good solid shot on 12, and I'm like, all right.
It almost felt like it was going to be boring at this point.
Yeah, all I was thinking about
is going to be a coronation.
All I kept saying was like, no water, no water, no water, no water. That was the only thing that I thought. Well, that's...
What did you feel like after after 13?
I was weirdly okay in the sense that I knew everyone that was running him down was running out of holes. And so at a certain point, I'm like, all right, he's got to make a birdie on 15, but he still had the chance to go make birdie. Because I also know it's like he's the type of guy that will have a horrible double bogey and then turn right back around and hit it 6 feet. Right. Like, so I knew I was trying to stay positive for most of the round.
All right. If you are selling, you got Chris Harrington coming up next, and we'll talk to Chris, of course, about the Grizzlies season and what is to come, and then we'll get into the Nico situation after that. If you're selling your house, my God, what a perfect time to sell your house. Look beautiful. Like it's springtime. No better time than right now. Call Josh Heisa on the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com is the website. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract, and anytime, risk-free. He's got it.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.